I want to talk about the wilderness this morning. You know, the Old Testament and the New Testament was Hebrew and Greek. And so it's very difficult sometimes to take one word and well, it's not real difficult, I guess, but it's can be a challenge to know if you see a word in the Old Testament and you see a word in the New Testament, you look it up, one's Greek, one's Hebrew, they're obviously two different words, and sometimes they mean a little different things. But when things that are referenced in the New Testament go back and reference things in the Old Testament, then you can use those words and say, these are the same words because he's talking about the same thing. Matthew 4:1, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. When I saw that, you know, and I've read that multiple times, and we've talked a little bit about the wilderness, but it struck me as odd that it always seemed like the wilderness was brought up multiple times, right? And it even says Jesus tempted in the wilderness. You know, when you go back to Joseph and we start the 12 sons of Jacob, which became the nation of Israel, right? The tribes, but it started out with the sons. And you would have thought that if these were the examples, that if Israel was the Jacob was the example, and his sons were such a shining example, that Christ said, "I'm going to come through those people right there because they're really great people." You wouldn't think to know that Joseph was thrown. He was one of the children of Jacob. He was thrown into a pit. He was one of their brothers, the 12 brothers. He was thrown into the pit. In the wilderness, right? And you're like, huh, why did God use wilderness here and Jesus tempted in the wilderness? And that's kind of how a study comes about. You're like, what is God trying to show us here in the wilderness? Because Jesus being tempted by the devil and thrown in the pit doesn't seem like it connects at all. But when you take the wilderness and say they were both in the same spiritual place, that's what God's kind of trying to say. They were both in the same spiritual place when this happened. And so Joseph was thrown into the pit in the wilderness. And it was the oldest son, I think, that didn't want him to be killed. The other brothers wanted him to die. And he said no, they didn't want that to happen. So they took his cloak and dipped it in animal blood, took it back to the father and said that Joseph had died. And they sold his brother to the, was it the Edomites? Yeah, he sold him to Ishmael, who the Ishmaelites, the descendants of Isaac and Ishmael, who were in their own line, right? Sold him away. Sold his brother. Could you imagine that? Could you look at the person next to you that you care about, and then somebody would offer you, I don't know, what are you worth, $10? That's fine, I'm just kidding. Right? Yeah. Just don't get carried away now. Yeah, maybe 15. So somebody offers you money for the person sitting next to you, that's your heart, part of your heart. That's part of your body. That's part of your flesh and your blood, right? That you have the same blood coursing through your veins, your sisters, brothers, mothers, daughters. You wouldn't do that. That's what they did. That's what they did. And this was the 12 children of Jacob who became the nation of Israel who Christ came from. Wow, that's crazy to me. But the thing that connects these what happened here is the wilderness. And so we look at another one. We see Moses and Israel, right? This was later on when they were delivered from Pharaoh, and you have Moses and Israel wandering through the wilderness, right? And there it is again. I'm like, wow, you know, God has this special place of torment that he puts us through, right? Or something's going on with this idea of the wilderness, right? And Hebrew references this word to that event. Because if you go to Hebrew and you read how Moses was wandering through the desert with Israel, he says that he wandered through the wilderness. So that a way that we can take the wilderness that the children of Israel went through And the word wilderness here and the word wilderness, Jesus was led into the wilderness, we know that it was the same place, right? I don't want to tell you it's the same place if it's not. So you do a little research, you do a little study, and you find out that Jesus was in the same place as the children of Israel wandering through the wilderness, in the desert. That he was in the same place. When Joseph was cast into the pit, Jesus was in that same place. And we start seeing the devil also in that place. Here we have John the Baptist. He was crying in the wilderness. Same word. So the same place John the Baptist was the same place Jesus was the same place Joseph was the same place that Israel was when they wandered through the desert. So God, this is just not coincidence. God just doesn't do this. What connects all of these things is the word wilderness. John the Baptist standing in the middle of a wilderness crying that the Lord is coming. Do you know who he was in the middle of? The children of Israel. They all come out to hear him. And he was crying that paved the way for the Lord. Behold, right? Nobody wanted to listen to him. Why do you think they didn't want to listen to him? You see, the devil had their ear too, right? The devil had part of their heart. The devil had part of their hands. And so we can kind of see what made this the temptation in the wilderness, why this term would have been used, that he was tempted in the wilderness. This is a place where the devil offers up his things and God offers up his things, right? This is a place where you get to choose who you want to follow. Now, on the day of judgment, you can't turn around and say, well, you know, God, you didn't talk to me. You didn't speak to me. I just didn't know. Okay, so God would say, okay, so you don't want any choices. You want me to make this happen for you. You want me to take away your freedom of choice. You want me to take away your freedom of choice, where to live, what to eat, where to work, who to marry, all this stuff. You want me to take that away so that I can be blamed for your choices. Nobody wants that either. And so when we're in the wilderness, we're in a place where we're tempted by Satan, but also the power of God is available. The power of God is there. The power of God, Jesus showed us, is able to overcome the wilderness, to overcome the power of our enemy. And as I said, all of these are the same word. And so when you go back and you look at Matthew 4:1, you look at Hebrews, and when you go back to Joseph and you look at the wilderness, one of the other things that you can do is look up that number. It'll be Old Testament something. And wherever that word wilderness is, anywhere in the Old Testament that you find, is everywhere that Jesus and Joseph and Moses and Israel and John the Baptist were, right? It's pretty amazing. But isn't it odd that Jesus started his ministry where God was cried out to the most? He started his ministry, he was baptized by John, and immediately he was carried away by the Spirit into the wilderness. He started his ministry where it seemed like some of the worst things happen to decent people. Right? I mean, Joseph wasn't a bad dude. Joseph was a loving kid. You know why his brothers threw him in there? Because of his dreams and his visions that exalted him above his brothers. He said, we're not going to have this dreamer of dreams. We need to get rid of him. It made them look bad, right? We don't like that sort of stuff. But Jesus started his ministry where he was needed the most. You know where that was? The wilderness. Where he was needed the most. Why? Because the devil was there to play games with you. The devil was there to try to trick you. The devil was there to try to take you away. So Jesus started his ministry grounded in the place where you needed him the most, where you could see truth. If you don't want to see truth, there's nothing that anybody can do for you. If you want to live in your own head and live in your own reality, there's nothing that anybody can do for you. God himself said that He has to give them over to that debased mind, and he says that they think what is evil is good, and what is good, they call that evil. And if you look at Jesus and think that he was evil, how can God do anything for you? Because what did Jesus do to you? He told you the truth. He tried to pull your life out of that wilderness. He tried to help you through that wilderness. But no, you would rather run off and think that you have it on your own. Exodus 16:3, and the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." They're looking back at the slavery that they had in Egypt and said it was better than being free in God. You know, you look around today, that sounds about right. Just take care of me and give me what I want, and I can live with that, but you want me to sacrifice for God or make any sort of adjustments to my life of how I want to live or how I want to think, just forget that. I'll just remain in chains. And the problem is they don't see the chains until it's too late. These people said they sat around pots of meat in slavery. And they ate bread till they were full. They said that God was going to starve them to death out in the wilderness. Can you see the same temptation here? Jesus was said, taught by Satan, he said, "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." The same temptation happened to the children of Israel through the wilderness. They had a choice to choose the world or God. God let it rain bread down to them. But they looked at the world that held God's people in captivity. They looked at it and thought, this is better. And some people would rather be rocked to sleep in the world today than they would to be awake in the church. The same temptation came to Jesus when he said, "You're hungry?" Well, you weren't hungry before you came into the wilderness. You weren't hungry before you came to John the Baptist. You weren't hungry before you tried to commit yourself to God. And he said, "You think you're something in God. If you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." And of course his answer was, "Man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Exodus 32:1. "Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, and the people gathered together to Aaron, he said to him, 'Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him.'" Oh my gosh, talk about ungrateful. Talk about no patience. Talk about not being able to sacrifice at all. He went up on the mountain. It said he was up there for 40 days and 40 nights. He's up on the mountain and all these people are like, "I thought these people held on to God. I thought these people trusted in God. I thought these people wanted to serve. Let us go into the desert so that we can sacrifice and praise our God." And then Moses is gone for about a month. And these people say, "Forget the God of Israel. Forget this Moses guy who we praised one moment." And he said, "Just send us back to Egypt, right? Let's make gods that that we had like we had in Egypt, if we were to just serve them. I thought these were God's people. I thought these were people who wanted to serve God." Do you hear what they're saying? It didn't take long and they were ready to go back. You can see the same temptation here when it came to Jesus. He said, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, then your people will believe you." Right? They tempted him that with on the cross. You can see the same temptation here. Moses and Aaron. Aaron should have stood up. Aaron should have stood up and had some sort of faith in his brother that you're coming down and he's coming back. But no, he got caught up in their hypocrisy too. Made golden images to false gods. And Jesus was told, "If you want the people to believe you, throw yourself down, then they will believe you." They should have believed that Moses was the one that was going to bring down the law of God, that when he went up on the mountains and there was lightning and thunderings going on for those 40 days and 40 nights on the mountain of God. Just lost interest. They just lost interest. And you say, what's this got to do with? I want us to see what it's like walking through the wilderness. These people saw the lightnings and thunders on a mountain of God and they lost interest. They lost interest. That's what happens when you walk through the wilderness. You get distracted. You question yourself and you think, is this really worth it? And the only thing Jesus had to say to this was he quoted what God had told, what God had said. He quoted Scripture to the devil. He said, this is what God said and this is what I'm going to believe. He said, really? Your people don't even believe in you, right? You believe this, but your people don't even believe in you. I want us to understand the mindset that happens to us when we walk through the wilderness. We're vulnerable. We're vulnerable. Jesus didn't go into the wilderness before he was baptized. Do you know why? Because it was necessary for him to have the Holy Spirit of God to go through that wilderness. Because that's how God does not leave you abandoned walking through here. You're not laid bare to the temptations of the devil. You're not defenseless. Although the world would make you think you are, although people would make you think you are, and all circumstances considered, when he said, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, people will believe in you. You will not strike your foot against a stone. And he said, if you're the throne of God, Son of God, throw yourself down. And he said, I don't tempt the Lord my God to make him have to come to my defense. I will suffer for his sake. And if those people choose not to believe in me, that will be on them. You see, going through the wilderness, we start to see things in the way they are from God's perspective, if we'll listen, and from the world's perspective. But what happens to our mind is our mind gets caught in the middle between these two fights, this struggle. Going through the wilderness is not a great place, but it's a deliverable place. It is a place where God has shown something. And I think we'll see it in the next verse. I only have two slides, so. Hebrews 11:24-27, we go here into the New Testament. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know, I just want to say that would be difficult. Because he saw all of the torment, all of the pain that he went through, that these people went through. And he was the child of the king, right? He was the child of the daughter. Wasn't actually from the king, but he had access to all of the luxuries because he was his daughter's son. You know how he knew he was a Hebrew? Right? Yeah, he was circumcised. How do you think that they held the blood covenant when they went through captivity? You see, they couldn't slaughter animals because they were only given meat to eat. They weren't given live animals that they could do these things with. They kept that circumcision in blood in themselves. And that's what distinguishes God's people from people who weren't. They kept the circumcision of blood. And so he knew that he was a Hebrew. He looked and see he was a Hebrew, right? He knew he wasn't an Egyptian. This would have been hard. And this is even harder. Verse 25, he said that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Why? Because he knew he was a person of God. He knew that he was these people. Suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Don't let anybody tell you that sin isn't pleasurable. Right? It is. That's what he says, but it's a passing pleasure that will go away. You know how you know? It's because just look at your own life. Right? You know what one of the pleasures is for one of our grandsons right now? He loves to sit and watch TV and play video games. Right? He'll grow out of that. You know why? Because he's got to grow up and be a man. Right now, one of the greatest pleasures of our granddaughter is to ride the horsey, right? Loves it, right? She'll grow out of it, though. Why? Because she'll mature. You see, it's a passing pleasure. It doesn't. you know, if I were to take Lauren and put her on my knee like that and hold on to, if I could even get, you know, get her going right on one leg, I might have used two. Because she's, you know, she's 20, right? That wouldn't be pleasurable for her. It'd be just kind of awkward and weird, right? See, it passes. We know that the sin that is in this world is passing away. When you're laying in your hospital bed, you're not desiring the same things that you desire right now. Anyway, so he chose to suffer with God's people, enjoying the passing pleasures of sin. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. And the reason that he says esteeming the reproach of Christ, because Moses didn't know Christ, he knew him as the Lord. He's showing you here that that's who that was, right? Otherwise, in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews would have corrected himself. He wouldn't have mentioned Christ with, see, that's one of the things we talk about wilderness. See, this is how it works, right? Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure of Egypt, because he looked towards the reward. Do you think that way? I tell you how we would know some of it, how some of where we are. It's that when people start using the Lord's name in vain, and we start finding ourselves becoming desensitized to this, and we start finding ourselves just being a part of this, even though we're not condemning it, we're not doing it, but we're not condemning it. Are we really looking for the reward of Christ, or are we just, you know, think we are? Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he forsook Egypt. Don't tell me that these Old Testament saints, that they lived by sight alone. They had faith to believe in the promises that were given to them, even though they didn't see them right away. And if they could endure, why can't we? They went through the same wilderness as we did. God was literally with them. And you say, well, we have the Holy Spirit, and well, that would make us stronger, wouldn't it? So we certainly can't look back and say, because they had signs and wonders and different things, that we struck a rock and water come out of it, right? That they had more than we did. They didn't have the indwelling Holy Spirit. So that should make us stronger. So if we look back and say, it's by sight, you're walking through the wilderness, and if you think sight is better, you're going to fail. You're going to fail. Because that's what the wilderness does to your mind. It says, look, if you're the Son of God, if you're the Son of God, if you're a Christian, if you're God's people, He wouldn't let this happen to you. See, if you think sight is better, and these analogies that I've given, you've got to compare to yourself, your mind, your heart, your life, to know what your perspective is when you go through the wilderness. But understand this, God is with you in that wilderness. He's been through that wilderness, and He knows the trickery. He knows how hard it is to wrap your mind around something that isn't seen. You can see the same temptation here. All the kingdoms of the world Satan offered to Jesus, He said, in all their glory, and he said to him, all these I will give to you if you would just fall down and worship me. You see, Moses went through the same temptation. He went through the same temptation. He was in the household of the king of the world. All of the kingdom of the world was at his disposal. But guess what he did by faith? Gave it all up. He saw it. He knew it. It was there. It was in his possession. Because he wouldn't have took the throne of Pharaoh, because he wasn't a legitimate child of Pharaoh, but the son of Pharaoh would have, and there was no mention that they had any harsh words towards one another until he rejected the household, right? So Jesus was offered this. Moses lived it. By faith, Jesus overcame the devil in the wilderness because he believed God's word. By faith, Moses believed that the promise that was given to the children of Israel was greater than what he even possessed in his hands. You want to get through the wilderness, you can't walk through it by sight. You have to walk through it by faith. You have to trust God. And you know, when people would say that, you just got to trust, I'm like, trust what? Trust what? Well, we can trust that God knows what He's talking about. We can trust His Word if we'll open it up and read it. Because not everybody does. They just trust what I say. And you know what happens when you only trust what I say? Something happens to me, you go somewhere else, you trust what they say. You got to trust what God says. Because that's what Jesus did. He didn't trust man. He didn't trust His sight. He trusted what God said. And so, the reason that I did this, the temptation of the wilderness, is I was like, how come He only showed him three? How come we only seen three? How come? Jesus was delivered from these temptations that we saw. But He still walked through that wilderness. You see, one of my things that I wondered, Jesus was a young man. Strong, He was a carpenter, right? To be able to work with your hands and bend that wood and stuff. You know, that's, you know, when you work with your hands, you got to have some sort of strength. You don't think that you're strong until you realize you know, that you are. But anyway, so He's working with His hands, and he's strong. Here's this carpenter. And He says, fall down and worship Me, all these things. And so Jesus, in the wilderness, the temptation, my question was, where were the women at? Where were the women? Why wasn't He tempted by one of the basic things between men and women? Attraction. Why wasn't He tempted there? Then I had to be reminded. I had to be reminded. I think it's the next verse. But anyway, I had to be reminded that Jesus was tempted in all ways that we were. What we saw in the wilderness is some of the strongest temptations that you'll have. Living by sight, basic survival, the food, and the respect of others. Right? These are three of the strongest things. These are three of the strongest things that the devil hits us with. That's why we saw those three, right? But my question was, why wasn't He tempted by a woman? Well, I think when you, as you age, the attraction between men and women can fail, and some people do well with it's not that they're not attracted, but they have feelings in them that are stronger. Steve Jobs didn't seem like that he was a really great outgrowing kid. He was focused. He was. It appeared that he had autistic signs. If you look at his mannerisms and the things, if you study anything about him or read anything about him. But he was very focused, and I don't think women got in the way of that. So I think the basic necessities here, one of the things that he enjoyed, because his face was everywhere, and he loved doing town hall meetings where it was him telling the world, it was recognition. Do you see what I'm saying? The devil hits the three things that affect us throughout our whole life, and they hit us hard. They hit us hard. When I don't get food, I can't eat on a regular basis. If it's been a long, like 6 hours, 7 hours, I feel like my brain is just splitting apart. I'm so hungry, right? And I'm not very fun to be around. But it's just food. It's just food. But the devil knows what he's doing, but so does Jesus. Hebrews 11, 28, 29, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. God delivered them from Pharaoh. Pharaoh couldn't come where the God's people did. Do you see that? God shows us, I want us to see, the wilderness gives us proof that faith leads to real rewards, real salvation, real deliverance. Because if you can't see anything else here, we brought in Pharaoh showing the same temptations and the deliverance in the wilderness as we saw with Jesus. But when it came here, God's people were allowed to escape The world was not. And if you would have looked by sight, you would have seen that Pharaoh had the upper hand. They had untold advantage. That is not the way God sees it. That is not the way God tells you. That is not the mindset that we have. We do not live by sight, but by belief in every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You said it best when you said a lot of people don't think that when we look back at the Old Testament that it speaks to us today. Speaks to us, right? Not just reading, not that it's important, but it speaks to us. It does speak to us. So much of what goes on, God has shown us. And He's put it all together if we'll just look for it. The wilderness gives us proof that faith leads to real works, because as they went through the wilderness, the children of Israel weren't delivered from the wilderness. How do we know? Because they hadn't even gone through it yet, to be honest. The physical wilderness, oh gosh, I wish I'd put this in here. You just can't put everything in there. Do you know that God delivered them from the physical wilderness? God delivered the nation of Israel from the physical wilderness. You know how He did that? He made them a nation, and now they were strong and they stood on their own. He delivered them from the physical wilderness. But you know what happened to them? They fell. They fell because they were taken over in the spiritual wilderness. They didn't really believe what God said. And we see that. He showed us that in the very beginning. Just send us back to Egypt where we sat by pots of full meat. Make us gods that we could see in Israel, that we could see like we saw in Egypt. But God said, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to deliver you from the physical wilderness. And He did. It didn't help them, did it? You know why? Because they were still going through the wilderness. You know why? Because the enemy is not physical. He is spiritual. All of these things that happen to us are a distraction to get us to give up on our faith. Moses saw what God did to Egypt, and he never forgot what He did for them by promise. He saw that Egypt was brought to their knees. And let me tell you something. He knew how strong Egypt was because he was close to the Pharaoh. Right? Second, past the sun. You know, if you look at the movies and you look at some of the things in Scripture, he was very close to Pharaoh. He was a conquering man for Pharaoh. Moses saw what God did to that nation. And by promise, he was told what he was going to do for the nation of Israel. And he said, I saw what you did. I believe what you can do. Because you told us the God of... And you say, well, Calvin, he saw by sight. No, he didn't see by sight. Remember what he did before he saw God do anything. He chose to suffer affliction with God's people rather than to live in the passing pleasures of sin. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater than the world. He did that before God did the wonders and signs. You see? Hebrews 4:14-16, seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, right? He tells us down here that we come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He says that he sympathizes with our weakness. He understands that fight, how hard it is that when we see something to do something else. Because when he was stripped of all dignity and hung on that cross without any clothes and people could come by and mocked him and he knew what he could have done, that was terrible. But he committed himself to God and he knew how hard that was. He knew how hard that was. And so he can sympathize with our weakness. He doesn't condone our weakness, but he can sympathize with it. Because he went through the same wilderness that you did. Anyway, this is what I said. It was like, where are the women? But he says, he can sympathize with our weakness because in verse 15 he says, but was in all points tempted as we are. If he wasn't tempted the way that you were tempted, your personal inner struggles, and God can't do anything for you. But He says, I was. And if you look at His life, what did He go through that wasn't harder than what you went through? The struggles. Did He saw these things? The devil, He laid open these kingdoms and said, all this will be yours. But He watched Moses, who had all of that, and said, no, I trust you. See, Jesus has always been with us in the wilderness. Always. And He still is. The Holy Spirit of God. Peter calls it the Spirit of Christ. Because you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we have the Spirit that led Jesus through the wilderness His entire life and through the wilderness when He saw and looked at Satan to overcome. Tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And what He's showing us there is not that He was so great, but the power of God is so great that He could defeat the devil. That's what He was showing you there. He was showing you that without sin, He was showing you that the power of God, what He's offering to you, can defeat the devil. He's not just saying it. He lived it. It's going to win. He's going to win. He can defeat the devil. And He tells us that we can come to the throne of grace and find mercy in our time of need. When is our time of need? You better believe it's now. You better believe we're still going through that wilderness. Not just the times of trial. See, the devil would get you to think that the only time you really need God is when you're going to the doctor and He's going to tell you whether if you're going to live or die. Right? Guess what? One day you're going to go there and He's going to tell you you're going to die. You know why? Because we all die. One day it's not going to be okay. But we all die. And Satan tricks you and thinks you that's when you're in the wilderness. You're in the wilderness now. You're always in the wilderness. God will deliver you from that wilderness. But you have to walk through it. He told us in Psalms, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear. Though I walk, not that I will, I have, or I would, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And you look at David's life, he wrote that. It was always around him, wasn't it? When did they leave Jesus alone? Didn't he go through the wilderness? You think it was just that time that he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, that the wilderness wasn't somewhere else? They didn't leave him alone. They rode him and hounded him until they hung him on a tree. Why were we showed only these three temptations of Jesus? You see, bread. When the children of Israel were hungry, bread came down from heaven. The Christian is fed by the same promise of God. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Moses disappeared on the mountain, but he did come back. Guess what? False gods may sound appealing in the things, but Jesus said he's coming back too, right? All the kingdoms of the world, all the kingdoms of the world were offered up to Jesus, right? Anything is made available to anyone, anytime in this day and age that we live. You choose whatever you want to do. Think of it, and you can find it somewhere. And you can do it at any time. See, before we had to wait till stores were open. Before we had to wait till daylight in some places where we could call, and we had the money, the operator, and everything. I want to call here, and yes, this is the United States calling. Are you reaching? You see, but it's not like that now. All the kingdoms of the world, it's all the pleasures of the world, right? Because money's only good for what it can get for you. Doesn't keep you warm unless you pay for heat. Doesn't keep you full unless you pay for food, right? Money's only good for what it could get for you. So it's just the pleasures of sin, right? All the kingdoms of the world we can have at any time, right now. All you've got to do is pick up your phone, hit that little internet icon, which, you know, Firefox, Google, or Safari, or whatever you have, right? And you click on it. And you put in the kingdom that you want, right? And it'll pop right up on your phone. You see, your temptation in the wilderness is not coming. It's already here. It's been here. That's something we need to understand. We think that the temptation in the wilderness, Jesus did it. We're going to go through a period of our life. And we're waiting for it. We're waiting for it. Satan, when you come, I'm going to be ready. If that's your mindset, you've already lost. Because He's already here. He's already here. We're going through the wilderness now. The temptation in the wilderness. And so we have to realize the mindset that it's going to take us to get through the wilderness. We're going to see one thing, but we're going to believe another. Don't believe what I say. Believe what God says. And look at the proof that He's given us. Look at what Moses did. Look how the children of Israel acted when they didn't get what they wanted, as fast as they wanted it. That's what happens today. You don't get what you want as fast as you want, you give up on God. You move to another congregation. I'm not here to please you. I'm not even here to please God. I'm here to do His bidding as a servant of God. Right? I'm not saying, God, did I make you happy today? Is this what you wanted? Right? I'm not here to please God in that respect. I'm here to worship Him the same that you are. I just fear that the mindset of the wilderness is a small one-time temptation. And if we don't see that we're walking through it now, and you go to Revelation, it says that the church was guided through the wilderness. You know how the church was guided through the wilderness? They told you by the apostles' doctrine. Right? By the apostles' doctrine. And there's people that tell you, you don't need that today. You don't need this table. Oh, but by the way, give us your money. Right? Keep your money. Come around this table. You give to God what you feel like He wants you to give. The money's not what we're after. Your soul is what we're after. And that's a fact. That's what Jesus was after. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and he knew that he saw how they treated Jesus, and he knew that if he stood up for Jesus in this way, that he was going to be treated the same way. And so we can see some Moses in him, right? We can see that he said, look, I could be left alone and live a quiet, peaceful life, go back to fishing and do a decent job, but I would rather accept the afflictions that I saw come upon Christ. That's a successful man that walks through the wilderness. And as a Christian, we have to ask ourselves, do we have that mindset to get through the wilderness? Peter told the entire nation, told the whole world, because the gospel went into all the world, which was the Jews, the Samaritans, and the Gentile world. There's nothing left. There's nothing left. That's how God saw it. And then when He went into all the world, He said, I want to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. What are we going to do with that information, right? We look and think, getting dunked in water, right? Coming to church. It seems like half the people don't even think any of that's necessary anymore. But God said it is. So, as we go through the wilderness, who are we going to believe? Remember, Jesus didn't start His walk through the wilderness until He was baptized. And you think, well, maybe I won't get baptized. I won't have to go through the wilderness. If you don't go through the wilderness, it simply means that He's got you chained up already. That's what Scripture says. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?